So we're going to start the top bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara wants to know, right? They want to know about Ikar versus Gidulim. What's the interaction between Ikar and Gidulim? Right? Is the Gidulim able to be Mevatel the Ikar? In that, if you have a new growth on an item, is it able to impact on the original item? Or the other possibility is whether, right, we saw this yesterday when the Ran and the Rush are arguing about what the Gemara's actual question is, right? The Rush has no, the Rush believes that the Gidulim of Heter Alikar, are they Mevatel Baruch? Or are they not Mevatel, right? Or Mevatel at Barov. And that's the according to the Rosh, there's no question that the Gedulim are head there. It's just a question of their Mevatel the Ikar, right? That's the Rosh's position. Whereas the Ran wants to know even if the Gedulim are Gedulim shall head there. You know, are the Gedulim just an extension of the Ikar, and therefore they're Asur? Or are they independent? And therefore they would be Mevatel, or their head there, and they would be Mevatel. That's the Ran and the Rush yesterday asked the question. The Gemara is continuing, keeps trying to bring proofs from different Mishnayot throughout Shas about these issues. So we had a number of those, or priceless Mishnayos. So the Gemara is going to continue today with a series of Mishnayos trying to do the same thing, looking at whether, what's the interrelationship between the Ikar and the Gidulim. So we'll start at the bottom of Nun Amud Bet. So, Atu the Kameh, Elamin Hadot, it's the last line in the Gemara. Elamin Hadot, Titania. Let's take it from this brayso. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Anything that has a Matirin, meaning it's something that eventually or somehow could be fixed without, the Isur is not a permanent Isur. And what are examples of that? Kagon, Tevel, Umaiso Sheni, Behekdesh, Behav Chadosh. Right? Why are these all? These are all the word sheish lo matirin. Why? Because tevel you can fix from a different location, meaning something that's tevel. You can use other tevel to fix it, to rectify it. If you're mafresh the trumos and maizros, then it's no longer tevel. Umaizros sheni and hekdesh, you can redeem them. You can do dia on them, right? And chadash is just a matter of waiting. Meaning once the carbon omer is brought, or after the carbon omer, when here pnei amizrach. Right, chadash becomes mutar. So these all are items that can either be made into heter or can be rectified, and or automatically become heter over certain, after a certain point in time. So these are davar sheyesh lo matirin. So lo nitnu b'hem chachamim shiur. Chachamim gave no shiur. I mean, that is what we otherwise known as what davar sheyesh lo matirin eino abatel. Right, kafilu be'alef. So that's it. Now the Ran obviously points out, and a lot of the Rishonim deal with it here, but we dealt with it before in the Ran, that is only b'mino. Right? Mino b'mino is eno batel apilu be'alef, but min shem be'eno mino, right, we said, is batel b'notein tam, b'shishim, a regular dinim of rov. Whereas this statement of the Brisa has only got to do with min b'mino. And the next clause in the Brisa is kol davar she'ein lo matirin. Everything that does not have a matir, so what are items that don't have a matir? They don't truma, truma smaiser, chala, orla, kilai, kera. So these are all items that are going to remain in their state permanently. And there's no way to get rid of the state of kedusha or the state of isur here. Kilai kerem and orla will always be orla and kilai kerem. There's no way to remove that. Right? They're not subject to pidyon. They're not subject to time, restriction. They are always in that state. So then, not Nubahem Chachamim Shiur. When that is the case, the Chachamim gave a Shiur for Bittul. Again, Min Vimino, what is that? By Truma, Truma's Maser, and Chala. Those are all within the category of Truma, the subcategory of Truma. So their Bittul is 100 to 1. Right, so that's the, 100 to 1 is the Bittul for, because it's, by there it says Malayava Zera. So we learn out by truma that if a piece of the truma falls back into the chulin, right, then it is still truma. Whereas if it's more than that, then it's not truma. What's that? That's 100 to 1. And then kilay akerim and orla are 200 to 1. is their bittul, and why is it 200 to 1? It's because they also include in it Isir Hana. Since they include in Isir Hana, the Chachamim took the 100 to 1, they doubled it, and they said 200 to 1 for these items. Although truthfully, Midoraisa, all of these would be bittul b'rov. Okay, but the Chachamim extended by Truma to be 100 to 1, and Orla and Kilai Kerem is 200 to 1. That's also meaning the Mino. Min Shemain and Mino will be the same of Notain Tam. So now the Macham Shir. Amrlo. Vahalo Shvi'it. What is Shvi'it? Ein la matirin. Velo not nabahem chachamim shi'ur. So what about Shvi'it? Shvi'it, Kedusha Shvi'it. We have Peros with Kedusha Shvi'it. That never goes away. Right? So that's Dovar. She'ein lo matirin. Because once a object on Shvi'it, like as we know, anything that has Kedusha Shvi'it, that is its permanent state. It's not going anywhere. So now, why shouldn't there be a shiur for shvi'it? And we know that by shvi'it, we say, right, v'tnan, ha-shvi'it oseret koshu, b'mino. When it comes to mean b'mino, a shvi'it is oser even with a koshu. That sounds much more like the principle of davar sheyesh lo matirin. So how come we're talking about a koshu when we're talking about a davar she'ein lo matirin? This should be, Shvi should be the equivalent of the category of Truma, Trumas Meiser, Chava, or Akilai Akerem. And therefore it should have some sort of Shiur of Bittul. Yet it has a Oser Bakoshu, which makes it sound more like Tevel, right? Meiser Sheni and Hekdesh. So why is it that Shvius doesn't fall, or why isn't it subsumed in these categories that Rabbi Shimon, placed out? So Amar Lahan, so Rabbi Shimon responded to them, even though this is not found in the Braisa, this piece is not found in the Braisa. Nevertheless, like the Rosh writes over here, that it's not Lashon HaBraisa, it's Shas Kavah B'Braisa. The Shas, the Gemara, interjects terms into the Braisa in order to make it read. You know, it's when somebody quotes today, when they quote a person, they put it into brackets. You know, they're quote making a direct quote, but in order to make the quote more logical, right, or more sensible, right, they add in words, right? They put in words that are not part of the quote to do it. It's the same thing here. It's not a direct quote from the Mishnah, but it's the Gemara's putting in it. Apani lo amarti el biur about lechila b'notein tam. The answer here is Rabbi Shimon says I only said the achila and not the biur. What does that mean? So I'll just say this: that all the Rishonim here, the Tosfos, the Rosh, the Rashi, all go in one direction, and the Rosh goes in a different direction. And to be honest with you, I understand what the Rosh says, but I'm not understanding totally why it affects the Gemara the way he says it does. So we'll read it. I'll read it inside with you, because we can try to work it out. But here, let's work with the Rashi, the Rosh, and the Tosfos so far. So what does it mean that when I also have Achila versus Biur, what's the difference between Biur and Achila? So if you look in the Rush, Apanilo Amarti in the Rush. If I don't know if your Rush is laid out the same way, it's where Rashi ends. Where Rashi ends on the right side, there it is. Apanilo Amarti. Yeah, good. You have the same thing?
No.
Okay.
Close.
Yeah, close enough. Okay. Oh, you guys have highlighted different masculine. Okay. Avanilo Marti el Biur. Klomar sheomdim bakarka, right below higiu lichlal achila. These are standing in the ground, and they haven't reached the point of being edible or being picked for eating. Kagon. Peirot shishit, shenichnesu l'shvi'it. You have vegetables in the ground that were growing in the sixth year. V'gadlu ma'at, and then they grew additionally into the shvi'is year, into the seventh year. Right then, a person picks them. Chayavim b'bir k'peirot shvi'it. They are chayv and beer just like peirot shvi'it. Why? Gidulei isur chashive umevatlin et ha'ikar. This gidul of isur on shvi'it is enough to be significant, and since it's significant, it overrides all of the growth that was beheter on the shishit. And now this becomes a gidul shvi'it. If it's a gidul shvi'it, what do you have to do with it at the end of the year when it has peirot of kedusha shvi'it? They are required to have biur. So that's what the Rosh says. The Rosh says that when we say Oseret B'Koshuhu, that's when it's in the ground. When it's in the ground, it's Oseret B'Koshuhu because the Gidulim override the Ikar. Whereas Avava Achila, what's Achila? Achila is a case where Shevi'a L'Fayit L'Echol. It was already brought to the house to eat. I mean, these are 6 year fruits or vegetables that he brings home to eat. I mean, it's arbu peruch v'eat in peruch minit. Right? Then, the other way around, he brings home shvius fruits that are chayv in biur, right? And then he mixes them up with heter fruits. Right? So what happens then? Then no tain tam. Then the isser is then no tain tam. So that's the differentiation that they're making here. That the Rabbi Shimon says, my principle is what? Kol davar sheyesh lo matirin is the koshu. Kol davar sheyesh lo matirin, right? Then it has a shiur. So what's Rabbi Shimon's response to them? At least according to what the Rosh reads, that the response to the Chachamim is that I say oser b'koshu is only relevant to growth in the ground. It's a unique case. But you're right. Yeah, when it comes to regular biur, if you mixed up perot shvi with other perots, what do they aser? How do they get asur? Be no tein tam, which means that that's something that ain lo matirin, and it's subject to the normal dinim of bitul. So you see, that's Rabbi Shimon's answer. So when I say my din about setting up, or the principle that I have about kol shein lo matirin is the no tein tam or bishur, that's still true of shvi's. By perot shvi's that are kafaros with kedusha shvi's, they get mixed up with other payroads, then we're talking about a regular shear, right? No tain tam. You got to figure out if it's bato or not. What did I ask? What's this issue about kol shehu? Shvius oser b'kol shehu. That's a unique issue to growth in the ground. That when they're still growing in the ground and they continue to grow on shvi'it, they then take on the kedushat shvi'it. And that overrides all the good stuff. The heter that was there beforehand is overridden by this little additional growth. Why is that relevant to our Gemara? That's exactly what our Gemara is after here. So that's the next line in the Rosh. See? Alma. Gidule Isur Osmimita Ikar B'Tosevet Koshehu. The additional growth on Shvi'it impacts on the vegetables or the fruits, right? So that they are Osur B'Koshehu. Achaname Gidule Heter Matirimita Ikar B'Rov. So to over here, the Gidule Heter should be mevatel at the ikar rov, meaning that it should be a two-way street. If the isur can override the ikar when it comes to gidulim versus ikar, then the same should be true with heter. If you have ikar of isur, and then you have some growth of heter, if the gidulim are so powerful that they can override the ikar to make it asur, they should be just as powerful to make it mutar. And that would be the answer to our, right, our question over here, whether gidulim can override the ikar. That's the Gemara's question.
The other way to look at it is that when it comes to growth, any portion of it that grew biser overrides any amount that grew better. So the fact that it came first or last shouldn't make a difference.
All right, so that's the Gemara's answer is basically what you're saying, which is, but maybe we only say Lachumra. I mean, that's what you're suggesting. You said it's only a one-way street. We said it has to be a two-way street. If gidulim, if growth can override the ikar, then it should work both ways. And the Gemara says, maybe that's not true. Maybe we just go to Chumra. We're choshesh for growth of isur to override heter, but not necessarily the fact that that's a principle, that all growth will override the ikar. So what you're suggesting is basically the Gemara's answer. So this is the way the Rosh learns it, the Tosfos learns it this way, the Rashi learns it basically this distinction between achila and biur, and then the Gemara's question is simply based on their explanation about biur, which means it's about growth. And the Gemara asks about based on that biur, what's the din, right? What's the din? The din should be equivalent to both ways. That would answer our question above. And then the Gemara rejects it. We're going to say the Gemara says that tumahat nami lechumra, which is the answer the Gemara gave in the previous case, that maybe we only say it. So that's all the other shumna. Now, if you look in the Ran, so now the Ran says, Hashvi'it. Let's just read there from there in the Ran. Hashvi'it. You see the word Hashvi'it in the Ran? It's in the narrow lines of the Ran, in the narrowest lines of the Ran, about, two-thirds of the way down in the narrowest lines, Hashvi'it. Right. Hashvi'it, last word on the line. Hashvi'it. Oseret b'koshehu b'mina. Right, that's what that's the Ra'an L'shitato, right? Most of the Rishon agree here, that's only b'min b'mino. It's oser b'mino. Ben b'tarobet peirot, heter b'shel shvi'it, whether it's talking about a mix-up of kedushat shvi'it, peirot kedushat shvi'it with regular peirot, ben b'gidulim, or with growth, kegon batzal, shishit, shinat u b'shvi'it. a batzal that came out of the sixth year that was planted again on the seventh year. I think part of what the Ran is after over here is the problem, what by Shvi'it, it shouldn't matter that it grows in the when it grows. I mean, that should be irrelevant to Shvi'it, because how we kovei a Shvi'it, if you're talking about vegetables, it's batar l'kita, has to do with when you pick it, irrespective of when they grow. They could grow the entire sixth year. If you pick them during the Shvi'it, they have Kedushat Shvi'it. And the other way around, if you have something that grows all Shvi'it, and then it's picked on Shmi'it, right, then maybe batar l'kita, as Lina, if it weren't for Gzeret Tzvichim, leaving alone Tzvichim, if it weren't for Gzeret Tzvichim, then that should also, batar l'kita, it shouldn't matter. Everything should be of heter. So the case that the other Rishonim come up with, why is it relevant that it grew on Shvi'it? So really what's relevant is that it's picked on Shvi'it, even though maybe it didn't grow on Shvi'it. I think that might be what the Ran's after, and therefore he says, see, they picked it on Shvi'it, and then they replanted it on Shvi'it. Right, that's the same then by fruits, it would go Batar Chanotel, be irrespective of when it grew, what season it grew, and we have that now, right? All our fruits are still Shvi'it fruits. We're still eating, the 90% of the fruits out there are still six-year fruits because the Chanukah was before Rosh Hashanah, right? The blossoms fell before Rosh Hashanah, and therefore all these fruits, even though they've grown all Shvi'it, are still considered, right, Shishit fruits. Alright, so now, this is the next part of the Ran. Now the Ran explains the Gemara, the continuation of the Gemara, differently than the other Rishonim. So Amar Lehem, Abhem Lo Amru, Ela Levi'ur. Right, so that's what Rishonim's answer. He says, oh, when they say, see, first of all, you see this change in the Girsa. We say, Af Ani, our girsos, and all the other Rishonim say that Afani girsa. The Ran has Afheim lo amru. Okay, that's just a little difference. He later on brings the other nusach. He brings the Afani girsa down. He says it shouldn't make a difference. Same thing, but he does have a different girsa here. Afheim amru shashvito serib b'kol shehu b'mina ela b'indyan shetarich l'chol atarovet kodim habiyur. I say the Ran, this time I'm talking about something totally different. You have to eat up the tarovet before the biur. Kevin. So what does the Ran say? The Ran comes up with a case that you can have Shvi'it that is davar shiyishlo matirin. Because what's the problem here? The Ran says the problem here is not kedushat Shvi'it, because you can eat perot that have kedushat Shvi'it. Right? Anybody who eats otzer aretz right now eats perot kedushat Shvi'it. There's a mitzvah, but possibly a mitzvah. Some to be shown the achlav, although the schorah is a mitzvah, not simply a requirement of not doing schorah, but there's a mitzvah to eat kedushat Shvi'it. So eating kedushat Shvi'it is not a problem. What's the problem? At the end of Shvi'it, there's a requirement of biur. Right? There's a requirement to wipe out or remove all kedushat Shvi'it, all perot of kedushat Shvi'it that are left over. You have to get rid of. They have to do biur. What that biur is a subject of Machlokes Rishonim. It's going to get probably get more press as we get closer to the time. But whether the machlokus, whether it's hefker, right, some of the shomavim that you just have to be makbir it, ramban, others believe that you have to actually do real biur, if the Rambam believes you have to do real biur, different ways to accomplish this biur. But the point is that if it's prior to biur, the Ran says that that's davar sheyesh lo matirin. Why is it davar sheyesh lo matirin? Because it never has to reach the point of biur. You could eat it. The fact that you could eat it and remove the problem of biur coming means that it is a davar sheyesh lo matirin.
What's the issue in it now?
Right. Oh, there is no issue. The only issue will be when it reaches biur. That's what the problem is. Technically, the issue is
in a status.
But the question is, it's kedushat shvi'it is the issue. So does it impact, meaning do you say that kedushat shvi'it,
whatever.
Right. Can you do something? Say you have kedushat shvi'it that gets mixed up with not kedushat shvi'it. So I would normally say that is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Kedushat shvi'it is permanent, and therefore what? I can't remove it. I can't be batal perot. So Ran's saying, no, this is a davar sheyesh lo matirin.
They said kedushat shvi'it in terms of
right. Oh, but the Isra of kedushat shvi'it brings you to biur, which is the problem with kedushat shvi'it.
There's a problem with it now.
Right. The current problem with it is that it's kedushat shvi'it, then it can impact others with kedushat shvi'it. But the Ran's point is that eventually it'll cause problems for the other part of the. If the kedushat shvi'it is able to not be batel, then when you reach biur, you have to be embarrassed the whole thing. So that, he says, is the case because at this point it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin because it never has to reach biur. You can eat it, and it'll never reach biur. It's a different type of davar sheyesh lo matirin. Usually when we think of davar sheyesh lo matirin, it's like what you're describing, Shol. I think that's your problem with it. Davar sheyesh lo matirin is that
it's a forward-looking.
Right. It's the inherent object. Right. The inherent object will become mutar. That's not the case here. The problem is here they can prevent you from ever coming to the quote-unquote problematic stage, which is biur. I understand your question. But that's the Ran is explaining. Just, you know, let's understand the Ran, and then we'll see what. But I told you, I think what the Ran's bothered by the other Rishonim, and he doesn't mention it, but the possibility that why should it matter that it's grows and trees?
Yeah, this is a silly thing I'm about to say. But, you know, when a piece of chazir is nifsal me'achilas kelev, you know, in theory there's certain aspects of heter that come into play, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Well, there's nothing left to gam, and therefore it's no longer able to give nothing to gam.
That's also a darash yesh lamatirin.
Oh, meaning because eventually it'll reach.
You don't look for.
Right in the future, right? But this is almost the other way around.
Right, it is the other way around.
Because he's in the future, it'll be asur, and he's saying it's mutar now, which is a very, again, it's not your classic state of darash yesh lamatirin.
I'm not sure if that's considered darash yesh lamatirin, because I think what happens is that it's considered not to be that.
Not even chazir anymore.
It's not chazir anymore. As opposed to usually observing this material, in other words,
the same object is now in the same status is good, right? That's a good point also. All right, so now what does he do with the other side? The Ran is also, what he's showing is that, according to the other he's shown him, the problem with Rabbi Shimon was that he was inconsistent. When you have Darshan Shimon Matirin, it should be Asur Kosu. Darshan Shimon Matirin, then it should be Nozin Tam, 100 to 1, 201, it has a Shiur. So when they answered up, Bir and Achila, what did the Gemara say? Oh, most of Shvius works like that. There's this little corner of Shvius that doesn't work like that, and that's just growth. Right, that there's Bir, because that even there, there's a Kosu, even though Shvius is not a Darshan Shimon Matirin, but still that's an exception, and they have this little exception. The Ran's selling is what? That this is consistent throughout Shvius. Why is there an Isser Kosher with Kedushat Shvius prior to the Biur? Because that is a Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin. But if you're ready after the Biur, which is the next case in the Ran, then you're already, there is no Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin, and therefore there's only, then it'll be Ben Otin Tam. But the Ran basically just solves the Brisa to be exactly like Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Whereas the other Rishonim create, carve out a section and say, this doesn't go like Rabbi Shimon, but that's what Rabbi Shimon's saying. He's saying, it's just this little boxy or this Gidule stuff that doesn't fit into my thing, but everything else does. All right, so now, aval achila, achila, klomer, in arvul achar bior. So this is right, if they get mixed up after bior, meaning you have perot shmi'it after bior, which are prior to be mivu'ar, right, and you mix them up with perot shmi'it, let's say, shim ye'u asirim tarvotan, lo shorub achila, ben miminam, ben shimam miminam, then it's been notein tam, because it's avar she'en lo matirin. Avar she'en lo matirin, right, is, avar she'en lo matirin is, something that requires shir. Shir is no thing down, and therefore they keep being mufutal. So that's the answer. Then, the Ran says something I'm not sure I don't understand. It's Alma, Gidulim, Enim Shefi Machar Akiyar, the Yod Kumahu. Therefore you see that the growth does not go after the Ikar. I don't know what he said that, I don't know what he said now that is Alma, therefore you see. I'm not sure what the therefore is. I mean, according to the other Rishonim, they come up with this case that Gidulim override the Gidulim of Isur of Shvi'it override the Heter that was grown in Shishit. So they have something that does with Gidulim. The Ran never mentioned anything about Gidulim, right?
Earlier on, he did.
Right, in the first case, when he first mentioned it, he says, Ben B'tarot Perot Heter Shvi'it, Ben B'gidulim B'gom B'tzot Shishit Shnatu B'Shvi'it. But then he never mentions it in the rest of Rabbi Shimon's statement, right?
Is he going back to that?
So again, this is, I don't know, it was something that I didn't really understand. The Ran, because the Ran has to now come back to understand why the Gemara brought this here at all, right? So he has to have some conclusion about Gidulim. So if it's just because he mentioned above that there are these two cases, which the rest of the Gemara has nothing to do with, right? Then he mentioned that Gidulim, if you took a Shishit and planted it in Shvi'it, it would still be, what? It would be Oseret B'Kol Shehu. Right? But then, I don't know. That sounds like Gidulim. Two, don't go after the Ikar, because the Gidulim Shvi'it now override the Ikar that was planted. So maybe that's what he's after. I'm not sure if that's
what he was talking about yesterday. He's going back to what he mentioned yesterday.
Yeah, he says that. No, there. The Ran's question in the Gemara is whether Gidulim are Nimshachim Achar Ikar, or they're not Nimshachim Achar Ikar.
He's coming to the conclusion.
That they are, but how? What did he see in the Gemara that said that? There's nothing in the Gemara that says that. Now, he says that what you could say, like what you're suggesting, is that the Ran up above said that what's the case of Shvi'it Oseret B'Kol Shehu? One of the cases he gave is if he took out Shishit fruits and plant vegetables and planted them again on Shvi'it. And then it says, Osera Bekoshu. So that's his answer. That's exactly, maybe.
Yeah, he has to go back to that. So I think that's, okay. That's relevant.
It's possible, but then the Gemara interjected this whole thing of a beer and achila, which pointed around is not even relevant to what we're after. That's a like sideshow, pointed around. Even though that really answers. I mean, the way that Rabbi Shimon sets up the Shvi'it Osera Bekoshu, even according to the Ran, it's about beer and achila. It's about Kedushat here with Shvi'it and nothing to do with Gidulim. And it's only the fact that the Ran mentioned it above is it relevant. All right, I'm just pointing it out. It didn't seem so simple to me, but otherwise, how would Shvi'it ever become Asur with its Gidulim? Therefore, the Gidulim are not like the Ikar, since they grew out of a Shishit vegetable, right, and they make it Asur. Because we know above that if they're not Malet, then the Gidulim are like the Ikar. Again, and I'm not. Must be like we explained above, right? And then the Gemara is Dachile, which is answer the Gemara is Lachumra. Good. This part of the Ran, I'm being honest, I'm not sure what he's after. I don't understand it totally. I can read the words of the Ran. I'm not sure where he's proving it from. It has to be from that little mention above about Shishit and Shvi'it, which doesn't seem to flow well with the Gemara. I'm just pointing it out that doesn't seem to flow so well, and he's back to his, like Tzvi just pointed out, it's like what he's questioned yesterday. Ron's question is it Nimshach Akar Ikar, and therefore it's not Batel, right, then there's nothing to talk about, or it's not Nimshach Ikar, and that creates Malin, that's what's able to be Malet. Okay. Okay, right there in the Gemara, so the Gemara answers up on this, the Dilma Anami Luchumrush. Shiny, right? So over here we also say it's going to Chumra, and that maybe you can't prove anything from Ella, Minada Pashto, right? Let's try this. It's not. We have a mission of B'tzalim, Shiardu Alehem Gishamim. The B'tzalim, they're in the ground, and then rain falls on them, Vitzamchu, and they grew. I mean, that they were storing them. Say, for instance, they didn't replant them, but they had them either out on the ground, or I think the Gemara suggests in other places that they buried them in the ground. That he store. They stored. How do they store vegetables? How do they store root vegetables? They used to put them in the ground. So they leave them in the ground to store, and then water, rain falls on them, and they start to grow. So now, when they continue to grow, do they become a sur or do they not become a sur? So this is almost the opposite of what you would have thought. That if the leaves are black, right, if it has leaves that are black, then we know that it's healthy. Okay, the leaves are black, that means that it's growing and it's healthy. And that already means that, either one, that it's healthy and it can continue to grow, and that's already considered something that's growing on Shvi'it, right? Or you could say that the fact that they're black and they're growing means that they've grown enough, that you know that the Gidulim have grown enough to exceed the Ikar. Right, one of those two. They're showing me them both over here. But either way, these black leaves are evidence that it's grown now during Shvi'it. So he has Shishit onions that he stores in the ground. It rains on these Shishit onions, and then they start to grow. And you see leaves coming up above the ground. Those leaves are black. Black here is indicative of healthy. Okay? And obviously the Ran says, Lav Shchorim Mamash, not really black, because black would indicate right, dried up, or right, but that they are
dark,
right? That they're a darker color, which indicates vitality, right? Meaning that they're growing. Right, so in that case, they are asurim because what they grew during the Shvi'it. Whereas if hariku, if they are green, again, it's not what we would think. Hariku green would be to us would be healthy, but green meaning that they've lightened, right? That they are already look faded. They look unhealthy as well. That means that they
paled.
Paled, yeah. That's a good word for it. Paled.
Horiko panel.
Right. Would have said that. But the Ron says, Kevin Shahim Yerukim, because they're green. Alright, so, yeah, but I think you're right. I think Horiko panel, again, is exactly that. Horiko is
coloring.
Yeah, discoloring, faded color.
Rake.
Right. But it's the opposite of shachrut. I think the distinction here is not black and green necessarily, but dark and light versus white, indicative of vitality versus dead, is a dead growth. These really aren't, you know, live growth, the growth that either continue to grow or that there's a plenty of growth here. So then they are mutarim. So what? So what do you see here? Rabbi Chaim says, "Omer imi acholim." He gives another category. Imi acholim litalish ba'alim shelhem. If you could pull the onions up through their leaves, asrin, because that means that is strong, you know, vital, fresh growth that's able to. It's so strong that if you pull on it, it'll pull the whole onion out. Connect that, right? Then motzei shviit mutarim, and then the opposite would be true in motzei shviit, right? That they'd be mutar. Lememra. So what do you see from this? What do you see from this? The gedulei heter malin et ha'isur. That the geduleim of heter are malin et ha'isur. So the first half of the Mishnah is almost irrelevant to us because that's not about in Shviit. In Shviit itself, if you have growth, then the isur can override the heter. That we don't have any problem with because that we've seen a number of times. And then the Gemara can answer again, the chumer shiny. What's the key phrase here? It was connected on the motzei Shviit. What about on motzei Shviit? When it comes to seventh year stuff that grows during the eighth year, then what do we say? At least according to Rabbi Antigonus, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, if you could pull them out by their leaves, then the Shmini will override the Shviit. If it overrides the Shviit, then we see that you have Gidulei Heter that are removing the Isur, because you have them in the Shmini here, and now they're overriding it. So now, of course, the Ram learns differently, because the Ram's question above is whether the Gidulim are Nimshach Achar Yikar or not. So the Ran learns, what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is that you see that even though the Ikar is still Asur, the Ikar is Shviz, but the Gidulim are Gidulim Shel Heter. And that's all the Gemara's conclusion. All the Gemara's conclusion is that you see that that which grew on the Shminit is considered Heter. It's not affected by the Ikar, but not that it overrides, right, that it's Mevatel, the Ikar, but rather that it doesn't affect the growth. Whereas the other is shown, like the Rush or others, learn that if you have a Gedulei Heter, it's going to be Bevatel, the Ikar of Isur. So the Rosh points out that there is an inconsistency, because if it was Shishit vegetables that grew on Shviit, what's the Isur? You only need a Koshul of Gidul to answer the whole thing. Whereas the other way around, if you have Shviit stuff that grows into Shvinit, you need Benotin Tam. You need a bittel. You need a real full bittel, not just an Easter culture. He says, even though it's inconsistent that way, we still have at least evidence that growth of heter can override the ikar. Changes this according to the Rosh and those that learn in his method of what the question was. Everybody agrees that the gedulim are heter. The question is it mevatel the ikar? According to Rosh, that's Gemara's conclusion here, that it is able to be mevatel the ikar. According to the Ran, whose only question was that which grows out of the ikar, is it like the ikar or not like the ikar? Meaning that which grows out of the ikar, is it therefore heter, an isur, because it's grown from Shvi's ikar, or is it mutar, because it's independent of that ikar? And the Gemara's conclusion here is that it's heter, that it's not nimshach achar ikar, because it grew in Shmini, then it's going to be mutar. But the ikar remains asur, according to the Ran, right? That's always remains asur. So it's a question about the Gedulim. Alright, so now the Gemara says, well, maybe that's not true. But Dilma meduchanim. Maybe they were ground up. So what does that make a difference? What is grinding them up to? So now, the Rosh learns that what does ground up mean? That if you look at the last lines in the Rosh, it's like the last two lines in the Rosh. Kigon shedarkan biyirvan. Right? He crushed them and then mixed them together. Yachar agidulim vayikar. Uvetelim b'shishim, and they're batel b'shishim. Kishari surim v'tarah. They're not considered mixed. Right, so that was the question of the Rosh yesterday. Wait, what's the classic case of mi'urav? It's something that's totally mixed together. So the way Rosh posed the question yesterday is the gedulim are definitely heter gedulim. But do we look at the gedulim separate from the ikar and therefore cannot be mevatel the ikar? Or do we look at them as one entity now, and that one entity can now be mevutal? So Rosh says, oh, well, that's the Gemara's solution here. Meduchani means that you took this onion and then you crushed this onion. Now once you crush the onion, there's no longer a question of whether it's nitariv or not. It's clearly now nitariv, and the gedulim and the ikar are mixed, and therefore it's batel v'notein tam, because they are clearly one tarogus now. But maybe if you left them, or you took them out in their state of growth, meaning that you pulled them out and you have the ikar and the growth here, maybe they could be separated. Maybe they're not considered a tarobus. So that's not, maybe this piece is unique to the fact that they mixed it up. That's what the Rush learns. Nobody else.
And then it was mixed up.
Right, mixed up.
You can't mix it up.
Right. Right. I'm sorry. Right. You're very good point. Right. This is not something we'd like to do the chachila to mevatel isur. But if you did mix it up, then it's a taroves, and the case would be it's mutar. Whereas if you left them separate, then we would have no conclusion about what gidulim are with reference to the ikar. That's where the Rosh only one who learns this way. All the other rishonim learn meduchanim means that he took the ikar from shviit, he crushed it, and then he planted it. So the other way around. The Rosh learns that the Miduchanim happened once you had the growth from the Shvi'it, and then you're mixing the Shvi'it and the Shvi'it and making it into one Tarovas. Right? The other Rishonim learned, no, you took, Perot Shvi'it, you crushed up the onions, and then you planted those onions. So now, is the Ikar gone? I mean, the Ikar is significant when you plant it as a whole entity. But if you crush it up, maybe the Ikar is no longer considered Chashuv enough, right, to have the growth come out of it.
You could do that with
a chilul. Right. Well, you're not allowed to plant perot shviit, right?
Yeah, so. You're also not allowed to have
chilul. Yeah, but you could crush them if you're eating it that way. I mean, if somebody's making a dish, they're crushing up the onion, right? And then they're
going to crush it for the purpose of planting it.
So he could. I'm not saying he didn't, but you could come up with a case where that's not the problem. The problem is that he planted it. Fine, either way. So that's, if you look in the end of the Rosh, in the Iran, I'm saying the last line in the Iran, he says, the Dilma Meduchanim, Shindak Shakakab Salim, crushed the Meduchim Nenu, Griye, below Mavshif, and Gedulim Batrai. Since already they're crushed down, the Ikar is not significant, and therefore the Gedulim would not be considered a offshoot, Nimshachim, from that, because they don't have significance. Right, and the other Rishon, the Rashi and the Tosfos also bring a similar interpretation of the Duchanim. Ela Amin Adah, let's try the next Kreisa. Right, the Tanya. Right, there's a lot of Shvi stuff here. HaMenachesh. Right, what's Menachesh? Menachesh is weeding, right? Or here in this case it's not weeding, but rather they're pulling off the extra leaves. So HaMenachesh Im HaKuti V'Chasiot. Right, so he's pulling off the extra leaves with a kuti. With the extra leaves. So what's the issue here? Ocha mehem achilat arai, umatran vadai. He's allowed to eat for them a temporary meal, but he's not allowed to, if he has a permanent meal, he's got to take them off, maiser vadai. Rabbi Shimon Allah Zomer, im Yisrael choshul al shvi'it, lamotzei shvi'it mutar. If it's in Yisrael that's choshul al shvi'it, then after shvi'it it is mutar. Alright, so now let's just understand this. First of all, chasiyot we're going to leave out right now. We don't know what chasiyot are. The Gemara is going to ask that in a second, and we'll get to what chasiyot are. But what is the case over here? So the case is that a person is picking off the extra leaves for chasiyot, but these are definitely cases, these are cases of vegetables whose zaro eno kala, right, that they are, I'm sorry, the other way, that the varsha ain't zaro kala, where the root is still there. When you plant them again, the ikar is still there. Then, we don't assume that they became tebel before he planted them. So what's the question here? Ochel mehem arai, if you look in the Ran. Look, ochel mehem arai, it's the second line in the Ran. Lo chashin et shemen kodim su zaram, before he planted them, hutpalu de maaser. They became chayiv in maitzrut already. They came in the maaser didu midarabonon, be'almahu, right? Lo chashin et lachabes. Since these vegetables in general, are only maaser midarabonon, right? We learned that last week. That chumos and maestros, when it comes to vegetables, are only dirabanan. So since dirabanan, we're not koshesh that what happened. This kuti planted them. Then they had a kri, or they had something that made them chiyuv maestros. And once they're chiyuv maestros, then you go and replant them, right? Then they are tevel already. If they are tevel already, then you can't be here picking off the leaves, right? Or eating the hemarai. Why? Because you're taking tevel and you're eating tevel. Now, generally, when something is quote unquote tevel, when it's growing, you're allowed to eat a rai because it never became to the point of tevel. Right? But here, if it's already tevel and then he planted it again, it's still what? It's still tevel. Therefore, you can't eat from them a rai. Or why could you be maaser vadai from them? Right? Because you don't need to take maaser. So why would it be maaser vadai? That's one. Both. The cave in Kimlu Bahai Kuti Slo Yisir. So the kimlahu here is what? That we know this kuti didn't take chumas and maestros off of it, because he has to be masran badai. Right? If you knew the kuti, or you had a suffix whether the kuti took maestros over here, you'd be talking about a different case. But we don't have a suffix. Why? Because what's the conclusion of the braisa? That he has to take off chumas and maestros badai. For sure it's guy in chumas and maestros. So then clearly, what? It would have been tevel. If it was tevel already, then if he planted it, it would be tevel now. But what do you see here? What do you see? The memra. Gedulei heter ma'alin et ha'isur. Gedulei heter, right? Wipe out the isur. Because you have, what's the case of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? He says that if it's Yisrael kosher al shvis, which means that the peros have kedushat shvi'it, then they're growing on the motzei shvi'it, he's growing them on shmini'it, then we allow you to eat those peros. Right? Why are you allowed to eat those peros? Don't they have kedushat shvi'it? Because they have gidulim from shmini'it. If they have gidulim from shmini'it, what do you see from this? Right? That the gidulim overcome the ikar, and then gidulim can wipe out the ikar. You have there here. So there will be a solution to our problem. Right? The mamma, the gidulim had their malim at yisur. Bedilma, where it says, Bedilma, bedavash zero kala. Maybe this Bryce is only talking about a case where there is no ikar. Right? Our whole question is when the vegetables have an ikar. Or maybe this whole Bryce is not in a case where there is no ikar. It means that there is no, that the bulb does not last from year to year. You plant seeds, and it's all gone. We already have in our mission. There's no question anymore. Right? When there's just seeds. This is a case where they're bulbs. That's why there's a problem, because it's an ikar. But say this Bryce is not even talking about our case. Somebody says, well, hatanya, elohein hakatziot. Well, that's a problem, because what's the definition of chatziot? Kagon, halof, ashum, v'abitzalim. These are all, right, plants that are bulbs, right? Shum, garlic, onions, and the loaf, which is the, why is it escaping me right now? All right. The loaf, we'll call it the loaf plant. Alright, either way, it's a bulb.
Just a sliver of the onion family.
Family, right. But it's a type of onion, I don't think. Alright.
Turnip?
Loaf, is it turnip?
Turnip is not, okay. I don't think turnip is really a onion, but like leek maybe, or?
Alright, no, leek is a carcina.
What does it say then?
Remember that.
The onion family. Alright, I'm sorry, I forgot from the gesture what he said. The loaf is an onion, but there's like a term for it. But I don't remember it. Apologize. Alright, loaf, shum, and batalim, but either way, they're all bulbs. Right? They're all bulbs. And therefore, we must be talking about some that ain't zarokala. See, that's, you can't get at it. Now the words we try to do. And maybe it's where it's crushed up. Right, so if it's crushed up, we have the same issue that we had before, which is either it's crushed up and therefore it's gluten futal, right, or it's crushed up and therefore if you plant it again, the ikar is not significant. And where it says you can't say that because it says, kashrut ha-shvi'it kitani. We're talking about somebody who is kashrut ha-shvi'it. Right, so if he's kashrut ha-shvi'it, right, he doesn't care about these issues. Right. If someone's kosher al shvi'it, doesn't care about getting rid of the kedushat shvi'it. The whole point is that he's doing business with parents that are kedushat shvi'it. So if he's kosher al shvi'it, then he's not going to go out of his way to go and put effort into crushing up the onions to make sure that they don't have any car. That's just not on the top of his mind about dealing with these things. The Dilma b'tarovet, maybe we're dealing with a tarovet. If we're dealing with the tarobit, then maybe that's why they are, right, that's why they are mefutal. Kumar says, ha-menachesh k'tani. We're talking about a case where he's picking off the leaves. So we can't be talking about a case where it's tarobit because it's in the ground still. He's picking the leaves off. He's working on the plant that's in the ground. So you can't be talking about tarobit. So that's now we have conclusive evidence that Gedulim can wipe out the ikar. Because if something b'she'in zarokala, b'shom b'tzalim loaf, not, and yet we say someone is kosher al shvi'is, when it comes to eighth year, if he has gedulim from the eighth year, you're allowed to buy them from, you're allowed to eat them because they override, right, the shvi'is, the gedulim are heter, and they override, and you can eat it now. So we have proof that the gedulim heter are mevatel the ikar, according to the Rosh and Siato. According to the Ran, that the gedulei, we have proof here that gedulei shminit or gedulei heter are heter. They're not nimshach l'makar ikar. They're not affected by what the ikar is. They're not shvi'it. They are gedulei heter. Now we have a proof. Now we have a bigger problem, which is, before, in yesterday's daf, we had Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan, who said that just the opposite. They said that anything that is Gidulim or Nimshach Akar Ikar, they're affected, right? Those are the two cases that we brought down. But Sausna Tubikaram, or Yaldash Simchab Kainah, where they grafted the tree on it, we showed there that the Gidulim are Nimshach Akar Ikar, right? That they are affected by the Ikar. So what are you going to do with them? Lamed Avit Yuftu, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan? Gemara says, no, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Shanya Shvi'it. Ho, v'Yisrael Yidei Karka, v'Teil Atan Nami Yidei Karka. Shvi'it, the Yisrael, comes from the ground, and therefore the Bittul will also come from the ground. This is unique to Shvi'it. All other Yisurim, we're talking about Yisurim on the object, right, that are generated because of the object itself, not because of the Karka. The status of the object, the Kedushat Shvi'it, has nothing to do with the object, it all has to do with the Karka, because that's what the Yisur is driven by, Kedushat Shvi'it. Oh, so good question, Svi, the Gemara asks your question too. You get that face? That's exactly what the Gemara's next question is. Vari Maaser, the Yisurei Ayidei Karka, Vein Betilato Ayidei Karka, what about Maaser, Trumos? Right, all these things are mitzvot at Guyos Baretz. So why do you say that's why is what's different about Shvi'it than other Yisurim that are generated by the Karka?
Well, I mean that's not a complete comparison because Shvi'it is nicer until you straighten out the the pile.
Right. Abayis, Bar Melacha.
Right.
Shvi'it, Haros and Shvi'it. That's it.
Right. Excellent. All right. So that's the Gemara's answer. So you guys are on the ball today. On top of the Gemara, so this is it, exactly what the Gemara is going to say, basically what you say. Harry Maaser, these are the Akar Metel Daide Karka. How do you know that these are Maaser's generated Karka? The Tanya of a Bryce, the Litra Maaser, Tevel, Shizorah, right? They have a Litra of Maaser Tevel. That's Tevel, that requires Maaser to be removed from it. Shizorah of a Karka, he planted it. He should be on it, grew. Harry He, Kesar Litrin, right? That is like, Litra be maser tevel shazara bekarka vishbich arhi kaser litrin chayevet bemaser ubit shvi'it. So then, do you see here what?
Regenerate.
Even with gidulim that come out of it, it's what? Chayevet bemaser. So you see that the growth out of the ground, or the grounds it's coming out, is what's mechayev here. Right? That makes sense. Chayev b'maisros u'b'shvi'it. Ba'oto litra maaser alei mimakom acher l'fi cheshbon. So that maaser you have to remove because part of it was already, right? So you have a litra maaser and tevel shazor b'karko. You have a litra of maaser and tevel that you planted in the ground and then it grew. Then it's already gets a litrin, and now it's already 10 litrin, then you chayev it b'maser b'shvi'it, you have to remove meiser from it. Right? Even though it
has originally didn't have trumos meiser.
Right, removed from it. And then you hear it's growing again, you see you have to remove it from it. According to the proportion of the maaser that is found in it. Right? So that's it. If you just look in the run, alright, chayev it b'maser, look in the run, this is what Shaul is pointing out. Hainu maaser, mina maaser. We're talking about Trumat's Maaser that needs to be removed from the Maaser. Shaykha Chayevet Bokodim Shazara'ah. Right, he had something that was Teva Maaser that was removed from, right, what Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon has a requirement of Trumat's Maaser. Lo Bitla, the Ptirei B'Shvi'it, Mishum Tev Kerininu. On Shvi'it, something that grows on Shvi'it, has no requirement of Trumos and Maaseros. So now, what happens? U'B'Shvi'it, Shetarech Levarat Kol Kodim Zman B'Yur. So then you have a object that has both chumrot in it, right? Something that has its maaser tevel, right? That had maaser that was chayav in trumat maaser that he plants in the ground. Bichon, and then it got more. I already guessed it literally now it's like 10 times what it was before. You are chayav to bring both maaser chayav and maaser ubishvit. It's chayav in both items, right? It's chayav in maaser mina maaser. Right, and he has its chayav in pure shvi'it. So you see the ground generates what? The ground, even though the ground makes it into shvi'it, it's also, right, mechayev, the trumas maaser, because the original trumas maaser was driven by that it was karkat shel shishit. It grew. That was the original growth. Now, since it grew, you have to deal with maaser. You have to either do it. The Ron says, "Avel minei veid lo." It came to literally to seven petirei, right? Because the stuff that grew is not. So you go from somewhere else. and you use other fruits from last year that are chayvim maestros and your trumas maaser, and then you remove them from this item. So what do you see? You have to take off from the trumas maaser from last year. So it's what, where the item grew, right, from the ground, is what is mechayev it. Right? Because with the stuff that grew in shishit is chayvim maaseros. The stuff that grew in shviit is not chayvim maaseros. So you see what's generating the chiyuv maaser? That the ground. Otherwise, if it wasn't the ground that was generating it, you have stuff that was tevel maaser, grew now, it should be still all considered trumas maaser. It should all be chayv and trumas maaser. It should all be maaser rishon. You should have 10 times the maaser rishon, now mechayv. Why doesn't it say that? Maaser is only proportional to what the original maaser was. So you see that the ground is affecting not only shvit, it's also affecting trumas and maaseros. So my answer is up, like you suggested before, amrei maaser digun hu dekot garim le. Exactly what Shaul and Svi, you answered up before, which is maestros, yes, they are tevel from the ground, but what generates the chiyuv or the requirement to remove maestros and trumos? That is digun, right? Piling them up. There are other items, there are other milestones that generate the chiyuv, trumos and maestros, not just when it grew. What, when it grew or where it grows determines what year it belongs to, whether it could be chayiv and maestros, there could be chayiv and trumos. But what actually generates the chiyuv trumas and maaseros?
Even if it could be chayiv trumas and maaseros,
doesn't mean it is. Right. Until you cross these milestones. Kedushat shviit is not like that. Kedushat shviit is, there's nothing else you have to do. The fact that it grew during shviit means that it's kadosh kedushat shviit, and no matter what you do, right, it is kadosh kedushat shviit. And that's the difference between shviit and maaser. And therefore, the Gemara says, maybe we can't learn again. What would seem to be a full proof answer to the question whether Gedulim can be Vatel, the Yisro, it came up, the Gemara tried every answer in the world and it failed from this Brisa. So the Gemara says, we have a proof that Gedulei Heter will be either going to the Rosh, wipe out the Ikar, or going to the Ram will be okay, they're not Nimshachim Achar Ikar. The Gemara says, well, maybe it's just unique to Shviis. You can't make a proof from Shviis, because Shviis is unique in the aspect that it's Karka that creates the Yisro, the Kedushat Shviit, and therefore it can also be Mevutal B'Karka. When you replant it, the growth is mevatel the ikar, or the growth is ahead there, because it's all about the karka by shviz. And that's why it works. But by other things such as trumos maestros, where there are other mechiyuvim, or drivers of the chiyuv, maybe gidulim are not mevatel the ikar, or maybe gidulim do not are nimshakum akar ikar, according to the Ran, and therefore we have no proof to our question so far.